Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
This morning, if we could have the title of the message this morning, the title of the message is How Long Until You Evict the Squatters? Now, it might take you a couple of minutes for me to give a bit of understanding what I mean by this. So if you allow me to tell a little bit of a story, and I'm glad my sons have gone down to Frontline Church because it's about them. So they come in handy when it comes for telling stories at church, you know. So a few months ago, this stemmed from a few months ago, this title and this message. A few months ago, when the boys go to school, sometimes during the week they go in two separate cars, and sometimes one will leave before the other. And this particular morning, one of the boys, and I'm not going to name any names, one of the boys had already gone with his mother to school, and the other one was there sitting eating his breakfast, and he was not a happy camper. He was a very grumpy young lad, and he was quite annoyed at the brother that had already left and gone to school. Now, I'm not sure whether that morning, whether it was because his brother had turned the hot water tap on while he was having a shower in another room. I'm not sure whether it was that. I'm not sure whether it was because his brother held him down and made the dog lick him all over the face while he was hanging. I'm not sure whether it was that. I'm not sure whether it was because his brother pushed him in the pool, because that often happens in the middle of winter in our place. You don't want two people in our pool area in the middle of winter, because invariably one person's going to end up in the pool. And I'm not sure whether he'd had his clothes laid out ready to go to school that morning, and his brother had come along not prepared from the night before, but taken half the clothes and said that he'd had them prepared, and then he spent another 20 minutes looking for clothes that his brother had taken from him. I'm not sure. But we sat there, and he was at the point of, he was so angry that you could hardly talk to him. And I said to him, "Where is your brother?" And he said, "Well, he's not here." And I said to him, "Well, he's not here physically, but he's in your head." And my question to him was, how much longer are you going to allow your brother to live in your head while he's not here? See, a squatter is one that settles in or on a property without right or title or payment of rent. So his brother didn't even know that he was inside his brother's head. He didn't know. He'd happily gone off to school after doing his deed to upset his brother. He may not even know that he upset his brother. But his brother hadn't let him go to school. He remained in his head. Now, there are two areas this morning that I want to touch on, that to use as an example of how we allow squatters to live in our head. Now, I don't know whether you know about the squatter, but my wife was very helpful with me with this message, and she said to me that she said to me that in some cultures, if a squatter is in a place long enough, they have a right to own the building. I wonder how long we let people live in our head for. The two areas are unforgiveness and jealousy. And we've got a good Bible story. Matt used a great Bible story last week. I love Old Testament Bible stories. And we've got a great Bible story to, I'll just see that with you, see if you can think which one it is on. Unforgiveness and jealousy. And they're two separate things. But unforgiveness, firstly, a simple definition, if we can have the slide up for that, is a grudge against someone who has wronged or offended you. And the Bible's got something to say about that. And it says, Matthew 6:14, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." Romans 12:19 says, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." Matthew 6:12, "And forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors, letting go of both the wrong and the resentment." Now, for you who haven't heard that before, that's out of the Lord's Prayer. That's the only thing that we are asked to do in the Lord's Prayer, is to forgive our debtors. That's the only thing. Jesus said, this is how you pray. The only thing we're asked to do is forgive our debtors. Would you have unforgiveness towards anyone? To someone? Unforgiveness, possibly towards an organisation. Unforgiveness maybe to a church. Maybe you've got unforgiveness even towards yourself. Or maybe even to God, you might have be annoyed with God about something and you just can't let it go because something didn't go the way it should have. So let's look at the second one, jealousy. Jealousy is resentment against a rival, a person enjoying success or advantage, or against another's success or advantage itself. James 3:16 says, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder, unrest, rebellion, and every evil thing and morally degrading practice." That's a nice light scripture for us this morning. Proverbs 14:30 says, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy," and I think there's a couple of versions that say jealousy, "rots the bones." So I just want to give you an illustration this morning, and if Matt, if you could just grab any chair, Matt, I was going to say that one, but you grab that one, that's fine. You right with that, Matt? Okay, so let me just use this as a bit of an illustration. So let's just say that this chair is my wife's mind. Now, it's not my wife's mind. It's not my wife's mind, but let's just say it is. And so one morning, I leave home and she goes into the toilet. Not that it ever happened in our house, but the toilet seat has been left up. Might have happened a couple of times, actually. Wouldn't have been me, though. It would have been the boys. And let's just say that happened. Well, let's just tell the truth. Let's just say it happens over and over and over and over again. Or let's just say she's asked me to put the bins out, and the truck comes along and there's no bins out the front, the bins don't get taken, and so for 5 weeks in a row that happens. And needless to say, I can't understand why, but she's a bit ticked. Not happy, Claudia. And so at that moment, she's right, I've had enough. Now, all day, I'm not there, but I'm in her mind. And I don't know that I'm in her mind. Well, I'll probably know that night when I get home. But right through the day, I'm in her mind. And she's seething. And, you know, guys, I'm just using a couple of small examples. But we know this goes deeper than this, don't we? We know this goes deeper. Because there's things that happen that are a lot worse than leaving the bins out for 5 weeks. I'm going to leave that chair there so you just remember. And it can happen with jealousy as well. I mean, who would have thought that you'd come into a church and there'd be someone sitting there like I used to sit there, and I'd see others getting ministry opportunities and I'd be jealous of them. And they'd be in my mind day after day. Jealousy would consume me. So how long will you be unforgiving? How long will you let the squatter be in your mind? Until justice is done? Until they pay? Until they say sorry? Or not until they fix it? They're still going to be in my mind. Or until I give them a piece of mine. So who is it? Is it a family member, like I mentioned before? Is it a friend? Yeah, but Chris, you don't understand what they did to me. There's no qualification in the Lord's Prayer for what it is. God just says to forgive others. But how long will you be jealous? Until you get the same opportunity as them? Until you get paid at least what they get paid? Until it's fair? Why does that family look like they're having such an easy life? Until I'm respected like they are? Or until mum or dad love me the same way that they love them? Well, the story this morning, I don't know whether you've worked it out. Does anyone know what story I'm going to use, by the way, out of the Old Testament? Anyone got a clue? What's that? No. Good try. Jacob and Esau. Okay. So let's start. Genesis 25 to 26. And we're going to follow it on the screens and I'll do some filling in it. But let's just start with when they were born. The first came out red all over like a hairy garment. That's a great start to a scripture. That's nearly as good as Matt's scripture last week. And they named him Esau. 26, afterward his brother came forth and his hand grasped Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob, supplanter. Isaac was 60 years old when she gave birth to them. So Jacob came out second to Esau. So let's move down the story because we need to keep moving this morning. So I don't know whether you know the story of Jacob and Esau, but Jacob kind of wanted what Esau had. Let's just sum it up like that. Genesis 25, 29 to 33. Jacob was boiling pottage, lentil stew, one day when Esau came from the field and was faint with hunger. Now, not everyone would love lentils as much as anyone else, but I don't know whether I'd give away my birthright for a pot of lentil soup. And Esau said to Jacob, "I beg of you, let me have some of that red lentil stew to eat, for I am faint and famished." That is why his name was called Edom, red. Now Jacob answered, "Then sell me today your birthright, the rights of a firstborn." Esau said, "See, here I am at the point of death. What good can this birthright do for me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me today that you are selling it to me." And he swore to Jacob and sold him his birthright. So Jacob had a bit of an idea that he was after what Esau had. Just have a think about how old you think he might have been when that took place. And we go down a little bit further and we go to the blessing. So he sold him his birthright. So Jacob was after his birthright, wanted his birthright. So let's go to Genesis 27, 1 to 5, and the blessing. This is kind of the crux of the story. One day when Isaac was old and turning blind, he called for Esau, his oldest son, and said, "My son." "Yes, father," Esau replied. "I am old now," Isaac said, "and I don't know when I may die. Take your bow and a quiver full of arrows and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare my favourite dish and bring it here for me to eat. Then I will pronounce the blessing that belongs to you, my firstborn son, before I die." So if we can go down the story a little bit more, but in the process of what takes place here, Rebecca, his mother, overhears this conversation between Isaac and Esau, and she says, because she loves Jacob, and she says, "Jacob, go and bring a couple of goats and cook Dad's favourite dish." And so she dressed him in Esau's clothes and covered his arms with goat hair just so he looked and smelled like Esau. And even when Jacob approached Isaac and Isaac said, "Is this really you?" He said it to him twice. Jacob lied to his father twice to say, "Yes, it is. I am Esau." And so if we move down the story in verse 27, "So Jacob went over and kissed him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he was finally convinced and he blessed his son. He said, 'Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of the outdoors, which the Lord has blessed.'" So Esau now returns and Isaac and Esau have some confusion and angst, so to speak. And this is what happens after he... So in verse 35 it says, "But Isaac said, 'Your brother was here and he tricked me. He has taken away your blessing.' Esau exclaimed, 'No wonder his name is Jacob, for now he has cheated me twice. First he took my rights as the firstborn, and now he has stolen my blessing. Oh, haven't you saved even one blessing for me?' Isaac said to Esau, 'I have made Jacob your master and have declared that all his brothers will be his servants. I have guaranteed him an abundance of grain and wine. What is left for me to give you, my son?' Esau pleaded, 'But you have only one blessing. Oh, my father, bless me too.' Then Esau broke down and wept." I read this awesome commentary and I just want to read this to you. I really want you to listen to it. "With secret longing, Jacob listened to all that his father told concerning the spiritual birthright. He carefully treasured what he had learned from his mother. Day and night the subject occupied his thoughts." Now it was the subject, but Esau's birthright and blessing occupied his thoughts. He was jealous. "Until it became the absorbing interest in his life." Ever been so mad with someone that they've absorbed your interest? You just can't shake it. It just won't get out of your mind. "But while he thus esteemed eternal above temporal blessings, Jacob had not the experimental knowledge of the God whom he revered. His heart had not been renewed by divine grace. He believed that the promise concerning himself could not be fulfilled so as long as Esau retained the rights of the firstborn." So he thought he'd help God to bring about what God needed to bring about. "And he constantly studied to devise some way whereby he might secure the blessing which his brother held so lightly, but which was so precious to himself. Day after day, Esau was in his mind." So let's have a look at the outworking of the jealousy, where unforgiveness and jealousy meet. Genesis 27, verse 41, the grudge. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are very near. When he is gone, I will kill my brother Jacob." And so we go down a little bit further, but that's part of the outworking of Jacob's jealousy. And in Genesis 33, which is six chapters later and a number of years later, in verse 1 and verse 4, we see him. Jacob raised his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau was coming with him with 400 men. So he divided the children to Leah and to Rachel and to the two maids. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And they wept. Whereas where forgiveness came into the story. Well, how long did this drag out? How long has jealousy or unforgiveness got to be? How long? How long was Jacob jealous of Esau? Did Esau live inside of Jacob's head? How long did he have to run and hide from his brother after he stole his blessing? And how long did Esau hold a grudge or have unforgiveness toward his brother? Or how long did Jacob live inside Esau's head? How long were they squatters in the minds of their brothers? Well, I had a bit of a think about this and I thought, I wonder how long this took. I wonder how old they were. This whole story, I wonder how old they were. And I thought, maybe he stole his birthright at about 20 and then stole his blessing at about 30. Well, no, he stole his birthright at 30 and he stole his blessing at 70. And then they met and embraced when they were 100. How long does this stuff have to go on for? 70-year-old men for 70 years. Jacob was jealous of what Esau had for 70 years. How long are people going to hang on to unforgiveness for? How many years is there tension in the home? How long before people let things go? How long till they evict the squatters? See, squatters, unforgiveness and jealousy, and there are other things too. I'm just using them as examples. They infect our thoughts. We got that slide there. So squatters infect our thoughts. How can I get this blessing if it's jealousy? How can I kill my brother if it's unforgiveness? It infects our decisions. We lie to get what we want. So Jacob lied twice to his father to get what he wanted. The jealousy was just in his head. But I know it affects people's decisions with unforgiveness as well. It affects our direction. Jacob fled in fear of his brother. "I'm leaving this church if I don't get recognized. I'm leaving this church because the pastor didn't say hello to me today." Don't laugh. "I'm not going to that Christmas party. I just can't even look at them. It's just too hard. I'm going to move states to get away from this. And in a similar vein, it infects our relationships. In one day, a mother lost two sons. One ran in fear for his life, and the other would have had the sense to know what was going on. I can't be friends with you anymore. And yes, admittedly, there are some situations where that's unavoidable. But there are some situations that can be brought back together. And you get home and you've just been to the Christmas party, whether it be a family one or a work one, and you go, how intense was that? But that was 15 years of intense Christmas parties. This relationship is over. See, the God I know is a relationship maker, not a relationship breaker. The very reason he carried that cross is so we could walk forward in relationship with each other. Oh, but it's too hard, Chris. You don't know what they did to me. No, I don't. And it was probably tough. But the very picture of something like unforgiveness is you being locked in the jail cell, not the other person that you think you're locking in the jail cell. So how do we deal with it? How do we remove the squatters? You know, it's rarely a quick fix. And I admit that sometimes relationships are never truly restored. So let's have a quick look as we finish up. If I could have the worship team up here, guys, that'd be great. So don't miss this as these guys come up. Evicting the squatters. Number one, admit it. Confess that you have squatters. I am jealous of. I have unforgiveness towards. You're not going to move on from any point unless you admit it. Secondly, pray. By the way, just let me go back a step. The unforgiveness towards, I don't know whether it's for one or two people here this morning, but you have unforgiveness towards yourself. And you cannot forgive yourself for something. Today, it's time to move on from that. It's time to admit it and start the process. I don't want to live in la-la land here today and say if this is these are issues that are in your life, or someone's consuming your thoughts, or something is consuming your thoughts. I don't want to say that it's just an easy fix, because it's not. But with God, it's possible, because all things are possible with God. Secondly, pray. God, I need help to evict these squatters. Ask him to show you the root cause. Ask him to show you the way through. See, with Jacob in Genesis, and we see in 25, 28, we go right back to just about when they were born. It says that Isaac loved Esau because he enjoyed eating the wild game Esau brought home, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Maybe Jacob wanted his father's love and acceptance, but Isaac favoured Esau, and he wanted what Esau had, and that's where the jealousy began. He was insecure in knowing whether his father loved him. I just wonder whether people are insecure knowing the very thing that we sang about this morning, whether God actually loves up and loves us, and we want to fix things, get ahead, because we're worried that if we don't help God, he won't help us. It could be a trust issue. Maybe you don't believe that scripture. My God can supply all your needs according to his riches. So you will do anything to get it. The third thing, realize and believe your heavenly Father loves you and wants the best for you, and be grateful for your life. We see the fourth thing. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you believe his word and put it into practice each day. It's not going to work just today and just letting it go. You've got to put it into practice. Matthew 6:12 again, as I said before, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, letting go of both the wrong and the resentment. How many times do we forgive if forgiveness is an issue? Well, the Bible says 70 times 7. Forgiveness isn't a matter of a feeling. Feelings will not get you over the line with forgiveness. I remember I had angst against a person years ago, and I heard a message on forgiveness. And it was about the parable about the unmerciful servant. I haven't got time to go into it. But the bottom line is Jesus says that we need to forgive 70 times 7. Every time the person's name comes into your head, or every time they're in your head, the squatter's in your head, God, I forgive them. God, I forgive them. God, I forgive them. And you know what? It wasn't easy to start with, but in time, you can say that name to me now, and I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. Wasn't good, but I'm okay with it. I don't hold the grudge. It's gone. Now, that's how God worked in my life. But these things just don't go away. Don't ever feel that if you've got angst towards someone that it's just going to disappear if we don't follow what God's got for us. Number 5. By the way, I just want to do one more scripture with that. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. This is a really powerful scripture. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Now, that could be a stronghold. Like Steph said in a message a few weeks ago, Pastor Graham always says, it's a stronghold because it's got a stronghold on you. And it says in verse 5, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Number 5, apologise if you need to. Ask for forgiveness. Number 6, don't give up until the squatters are evicted. If we can sing the second song, Andy, that you did this morning, the second one. Yep. So, this morning, if you know that I've been talking to you, and if you know you have squatters, we're going to sing this song. And what I think it would be great to do is, if that's you, I just want you to come forward and stand at the altar. I'm not going to pray for you individually. We're going to sing this song. We'll stop about halfway through it. If you know you have squatters in your head, whether it's unforgiveness, jealousy, it might be something else that you find so hard to let go. When I was preparing this, I even considered going down the path. It could be something like lust. You've got someone's picture in your head that you can't beat. God's in the business of sorting this out, and he'll do it in partnership with you. So as we stand to sing, I just want you to come and stand down the front. I'm going to say a quick prayer. But today begins the day of freedom to let it go. Whether it's a person that you've got angst against, or jealousy towards, something that's happened in the past, today's the day to let it go. Let's stand together as we sing.